And, you know, it's one thing to hear, one thing to know, and to put our trust in, but to be obedient. So if you would take your scripture, turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 10, Romans chapter number 10. My name's Stan Adams, and I pastor at Canaan Baptist Church right across the way. Just a few miles away, the crow flies. And so I want to invite you to stand for the reading of the Word of God this morning. Romans chapter 10. And we notice the words of the Apostle Paul in verse number 1, and he began saying, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh to thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we, Lord, just thank you for your love. Thank you for our salvation. Thank you for the calling that you placed upon these preachers. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would help us, Father, that we might serve you with all of our heart. Lord, help our faith to be increased. Lord, help us to put our confidence in you, Lord, but help us to be obedient, Lord, in what you've called us to do. And Lord, we just pray and ask that you would stir our hearts this morning. God, I pray you would convict us and draw us. Lord, if there's things in our lives, Lord, that's not right with you, Father, if we haven't, Lord, just yielded our total being, Lord, to you, I pray that you'd help us to do that. God, whatever, Lord, you lead us to do, Father, may we be obedient and follow in your leading. But we ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. My thought this morning is having a passion for souls. Having a passion for souls. When we read the 10th chapter, we find something about the heart of Paul, who loved the Lord Jesus with such a passion. And Paul begins by saying, "Brethren, my heart's desire." What's your heart's desire this morning? What is your heart's desire? To make a name for yourself? Many do that. To have a mega church? Many seem to think that having numbers is what really pleases God. Or to have a place to preach. What is it that drives you and motivates you in preaching and serving the Lord? Think about it. What is it that drives you? What is it that motivates you in preaching and serving the Lord? Is it your love for the Lord and His Word? And your heart's desire to serve Him? You know, I look at the church in America and we got big problems, folks. We really do. When you have more churches closing every year than missions starting and churches being established, we got a problem. We got a big problem. And the problem is that God's people, we have turned away from God. We got our own understanding and thinking and our own knowledge that we have gained, but we've turned away from God. We've turned away from God. I believe that we're out of focus. I believe we've lost our vision. I believe we no longer have a burden for the lost. I believe that we've become complacent, that is, self-satisfied, even in the pulpit. We preach from this intellectual knowledge that we know of the Word of God. But are we seeking the Spirit of God, His leading, His direction, His guidance, His empowering? I believe that we need a true heaven sent Holy Ghost revival to rekindle our hearts with the fire of God. Amen. Not only to preach the word, but in soul winning. Amen. Soul winning. The Lord had a passion for what? Souls. That's why He came, to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why He died for our sins. And the burden that He had for the lost should be our burden. I know I may be preaching to the choir this morning, but you know what? This message is for me, Stan Adams, this morning. Because I'm telling you, folks, listen, we can get so caught up in the mechanics and going through the motions, we lose our passion. We lose that desire to reach the lost. Folks, listen, when I say we, I mean as a whole. Look at the church in America. There's a lack of love and commitment for the Lord and His church. And folks, when people don't have a strong love for the Lord, they won't have a love for lost souls. Just because we preach in our pulpits and we preach about the love of God, and we preach about how Christ died for sin and how He will save those that call upon Him, do we really have that love? Do we really have that passion for reaching the lost? You see, it's easy to preach in here, but what about out there? Out there where the rubber meets the road. Out there where the lost are. You know, we can pray, Lord, bring the lost to us, and God is saying, you go out. You go out and reach the lost. You see, you know, Paul didn't say, my heart's several desires, so many have divided hearts. Do we have divided hearts this morning? Even in the ministry, do we have divided hearts this morning? You see, Paul said, my heart's desire. I have only one desire, Paul said. I have one consuming passion, Paul said. I have one thing that I want above everything else, Paul said. And there's one great thing that I desire above everything else. Now, what was Paul's great desire? By the way, we would do well to copy this man. Which brings us to the next point. He said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. You see, I believe whenever we have a real desire that we go to God because He's the only one that can help us and to give us what we need to serve Him. Amen? We go to God because He fulfills our desires. And I know that God is the one that gives us that desire to preach and to minister and to share our faith with others. But we must go to God and ask Him to fill us so that we may be effective and have the boldness. Amen? Do we have boldness today in proclaiming Jesus to a lost and dying world? It's easy to preach it behind the pulpit, brethren. Yes, it is. But out there in the world, out there where the sinners are, out there where we're to go out there and we're to sow the seed, we're to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ so that sinners might come to know Him as their personal Savior. Paul said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Paul said that his heart's desire was for the salvation of souls. I ask us this morning, do Do we have a genuine desire to reach the lost for Christ? Do we? Do we have a soul winner's fire for the lost? Has our heart's desire for reaching the lost dwindled down? Are we saved and satisfied? You see, just like Brother Brad said, talking about faith. Faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Having confidence in God. Sure, we have confidence in God. But are we obedient? You see, that puts everything into play. It puts our faith in God. It puts in our confidence in God. But folks, listen. We've got to act upon that. We've got to act upon it, folks. Listen, Paul's heart's desire and prayer was that others might know the Lord. Now, I know that we can pray and ask the Lord to save the lost, and we should. But the seed has to be sown in order to reap a harvest. How many of y'all know about gardening? Raise your hand. Yeah. If you want a nice garden with some beans and corn and tomatoes and okra and squash, there got to be some seed sown out there. You can pray about it, but you know what? If you don't sow the seed, guess what? You're going to go out there later on, a few months later, and all you're going to have is a bunch of weeds. Yeah. You got to sow the seed. And you know, in the Great Commission, God didn't tell us to invite or just to pray for them to come. He said to go. Go. I'm not much of an English student. That wasn't one of my good subjects in school, but I know it's an action verb. Amen. Are we going? Are we going? You know, Paul told Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. You need to preach the word to the people, but you know what? You also need to go yourself. Go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. And my house may be full. Brethren, this was Paul's heart's desire. His one desire, his greatest desire. And that should become our greatest desire, folks. Is to have a passion for lost souls. Is to win the lost at any cost. Is that our heart's desire to preach the word and to share our faith with others? You know, Paul had a consuming passion for two things. Number one, to know Christ and his sufferings. To know Christ and his suffering. You know, because whatever motivated and drove Christ to do what he did in preaching and teaching and ministering and even laying down his life, Paul wanted that kind of love for Christ and for others as well. He wanted to know the Lord intimately. He wanted to be just like Christ was. And shouldn't that be our heart's desire? Amen. Shouldn't that be what motivates us in our ministry, is to be like Christ? Amen. We can become saved and satisfied. And we can become complacent. And we forget about the main thing. And that's reaching the lost. That's reaching the lost for Jesus Christ. Folks, listen, Paul wanted that kind of love for Christ and that kind of love for others. And just as Jesus came to fulfill his Father's will, Paul wanted to fulfill his Heavenly Father's will in his life. That was his passion. Is it our passion? Is it our passion this morning? Second of all, another thing that consumed Paul was to make Christ known. To make him known. You know, how will they know unless we're willing to tell them? But also, how will they know unless we live a life like Christ to show others that Christ does make a difference in people's hearts and lives? Kind of like our brothers talking about a while ago about Baptists. A lot of Baptists don't even know what Baptists are. What they're supposed to be. A lot of them look it and may talk it, but not live it. Not live it. And folks, I'm telling you what. You can talk one thing, but if you ain't living, we ain't fooling nobody. We sure ain't fooling God. We can get up here and we can preach and preach and preach about Christ and Him crucified, risen again, and coming back, and that He saves the lost. But if we're not out there trying to reach them, we're not fooling God. We might try to fool ourselves and say, boy, I'm doing a great work for the Lord. We might fool our congregations, but we can't fool God. We can't fool God, folks. Listen. You know, Paul had a passion for reaching the lost. And that's what motivated him in his life. And that was the thing that consumed this great man of God. You remember Paul's charge to young Timothy? That's our charge as well, preachers. That's our charge as well. Have we forgotten our charge? I mean, we know God's the one that placed that desire on our heart to preach. If He didn't, you're not a God-called preacher. God's the one that placed that desire in our heart. And Paul gave that charge to young Timothy because he wanted Timothy to be a successful preacher. Do we want to be successful? You know, it's one thing, and we ought to preach the Word because we're charged to preach the Word of God. But we're also charged to reach the lost. Reach the lost. You see, you boil it all down, Paul had a purpose, and that purpose was sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and winning lost souls for Jesus' sake. Proverbs 11 and 30 says, the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. We would be wise as well, amen? To get a passion, a burden for the lost. Psalm 126, verse 6, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. When is the last time that we have really got a burden for lost souls? When is the last time that we have wept before a holy God and asked God to burden our heart and to give us a desire in our heart and the boldness to go out there and to tell a lost and dying world about a Savior that died for them and that loves them? I can tell you, we've lost our passion, folks, for reaching the lost. Why do you think church doors are closing? Huh? There's no passion for the lost anymore. If we truly had a passion for lost souls, we'd be going out and trying to get others and bring them to Christ to help the church to grow. But when we don't go, the church will not grow. Other countries around the world, churches are flourishing. The gospel is flourishing. But it's dying out here. And how sad is that? God has blessed this nation abundantly. And now look at us. You know, Paul had a passion, and his passion was reaching the lost for Jesus Christ. Paul had a high interest and not just a casual interest, and I'm afraid that's where many of us have gotten. We have a casual interest in reaching the lost, but we confine it to these four walls. It was a high interest for Paul. He had a passion for the lost. His heart was in the salvation of souls. I want to share an example with you this morning in closing. Years ago, I saw a picture, beautiful painting, of a farm scene. And it was a picture of this farm and this farmer. He was a wheat farmer. And we see in the picture, in the forefront, we see the farmer's house. We see the silo. It's empty. We see the grain bins empty. And all the way in the back, we see field that is ripe unto harvest, golden wheat ripe unto harvest. And in the very back of that picture, we see dark storm clouds. And we see jagged bolts of lightning coming down to the ground. The storm is coming. And if any of y'all know, folks, when you don't get the harvest in when it's ready, you stand a chance in losing it. Amen. Right in the very forefront, here's a farmer. And he's sitting down on a bucket. And he's painting his wagon. And looking out of the window of the house at her husband is a farmer's wife. And she's got a look of concern as she gazes and stares at her husband. And the caption to that picture is this. It's a six-letter word. A-P-A-T-H-Y. Apathy. Apathy. There's a harvest that's ripe, ready to reap. And the farmer, it's his field. He could care less about it. And I'm afraid that we've embraced that same mentality. There's a field that's ripe unto harvest. But the reapers, where are they? In the church house. In the church house. Yes, we preach to those who are in these walls because God commands us and instructs us to preach the word. But the field's out there in the word, in the world, folks. That's where the grain is. And if we don't go and we don't sow, they'll never know. And they'll die without Christ and spend eternity in a lake of fire. Paul had a passion for lost souls. Do we? Do we have a passion? You know, the devil's already got them. He's already got them. We got to go out and rescue them. Amen. Get a passion. I tell you what. There used to be a time years ago, I remember in the 60s and 70s, man, churches went out and soul win, buddy. I remember that. I remember when the bus ministries were big. You know, most churches now, they done shut the bus ministry down. Because no one's willing to go. May God break our hearts, brethren. May God stir us and help us to get a passion for the lost. May we put our focus on reaching the lost. Not many of the other trivial things that we tire ourselves down to. and we got divided hearts. Paul said, brethren, my heart's desire. Let's make that our heart's desire as well, to reach the lost. Amen. Thank you.